You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to a new week and a new edition of Locked On Giants. I am Patricia Traina, back from vacation. I write for Inside Football, The Sports Exchange, The Athletic, Forbes, Big Blue View, and a bunch of other places, and I am joined by my co-host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. And Eddie, reunited, and it feels so good. It's been a couple of weeks, my friend.
As they say, Patty, on radio talk shows, first time, long time, since it seems like since we've done a show together.
Yeah, a couple weeks. First, you got some much-needed vacation time. I took a little bit of a break last week, and, you know, break time is over, Giant fans. We're back to previewing the training camp positional battles, what to expect. We're back to talking Giants football, and we are counting down to the start of Giants training camp on July 23rd when the rookies, quarterbacks, and select players report to the Quest Diagnostics Training Center to get things started. So without any further ado, we're going to jump right into our position-by-position preview. We've already done quarterbacks. We did that before Ed and I started to take vacation. Today we are going to do running backs. And Ed, let's take a look at the depth chart and what we can expect regarding some of the battles and the deployment of personnel.
Well, obviously, you know, Saquon Barkley is the top guy, and Pat Shurmur has been, you know, pretty emphatic that they see Barkley with his skill set in both the run game and the pass game. They see him as a three-down back. The interesting thing is going to really be how the Giants deploy, you know, the veteran running back Jonathan Stewart, and if they find, you know, carries or playing time for second-year man Wayne Gallman. I don't know about you, Patty, but, you know, my guess at this point would probably be that, at least in terms of Stewart, what we probably see, I mean, he's a 240-pound guy, we probably see him primarily in short yardage and goal line.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, you look at next-gen stats, and there's a really great stat up there that Jonathan Stewart led the league last year in the number of times he faced eight or more men in a box. And when you think of short yardage and you think of goal line situations, defenses are going to load up the box to stop you, obviously. And Jonathan Stewart was fairly successful in defeating those you know, seven or more in the box defensive alignment. So I do believe that you're going to see him as your short yardage, as your goal line back. You know, the danger, you know, just to go back to Saquon Barkley for a moment, the danger that I think the Giants coaches need to avoid is overusing the kid. And I know that sounds weird given that he's the number two overall draft pick, but if you overuse somebody, and we saw this, you know, with the defensive line, and I know it's a different position, but, you know, you got to remember there's still a lot of, you know, violence and contact and whatnot in the pit and in the trenches there. You don't want to wear the kid down by overusing him. You want to, you know, you want to make use of his talents. You want to obviously get him the ball in space where he's very good, you know, throw in some wheel routes, you know, throw in some of the receiver routes that you know, you might ordinarily give to a receiver, but that Barkley showed he could do. But you also want to pace him to where maybe you're rotating him out every second series or something like that just to keep him fresh. I know the temptation's there to, you know, fully optimize him the first week or two or three of the season, but it's a 16-game season, and, you know, maybe even longer depending on if they get to the playoffs. So I think you've got to really pace him out.
Sure, Patty. You know, Dave Gettleman has talked about depth, and mostly he talked about that depth in relation to building a defensive line rotation. But it also applies at a position like running back where, you know, most teams use a committee or a rotation where two and three backs generally touch the ball, you know, get some snaps during a game. And as much as, you know, Barkley should be the workhorse, he should be the guy that the Giants rely on, you know, to get the majority of the carries, the majority of the catches out of the backfield. He simply can't play, you know, every snap, every down. I mean, that's big time old school when, you know, when nobody came off the field, and that's just not how the game is played anymore. The game's played at such a faster pace, and guys are bigger, and you know, the collisions are so much more violent. And you have to remember that, you know, it's a 16-game season plus, you know, like the preseason games, whether, you know, how much Barkley, for example, plays in those, we won't know, plus hopefully playoffs. That's much longer of a season, you know, than Saquon Barkley or any of these rookies, you know, has ever participated in. So, as you said, you have to pace them. And I'm interested to see, you know, Jonathan Stewart, for one, who's insisted that he's got something left in the tank, even though I think if you look at his per-carry average, I think it's gone down 4 years in a row, you know, which would indicate, you know, that maybe he's lost a little bit. Or, you know, as you said, maybe last year it's simply the situations he was being used in. I'm interested to see, you know, the third running back, Wayne Gallman, who had a pretty nice rookie season. I'm kind of interested to see how much the Giants use him, because he's got that skill set where they can use him, you know, both on the ground and as a pass receiver, you know, and as a guy that can give Saquon some rest. So I'm anxious to see, you know, how they incorporate Gallman, you know, into the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Gallman that I found when I was doing my breakdown of the positions for a series that I'm going to start with The Athletic coming up is that Gallman was really at his best on third down situations. And it's interesting because when he was initially drafted, I think might have been even you who said it, or I forget who it was. I think it was you. But someone made the comment that Gallman's skill set was virtually identical to what Shane Vereen brought to the offense. And, of course, the Giants did not re-sign Shane Vereen when he became an unrestricted free agent. And I'm just wondering if Gallman now becomes that third down back because, look, I mean, if I remember correctly from my research, he had the best or the most success out of all the running backs last year when it came to blocking, pass blocking, which is typically what you look for from your third down back. You know, Gallman is a guy who you can send out on a pattern. He's a guy who can carry the rock. So it's not just that, you know, when you trot him out there, it's not that, oh, he's there to block and be a decoy. You can legitimately work him in and mix things up with him. So I think that could be his potential role because, you know, just going back to what I was saying with Barkley, you know, I'm not saying that Barkley can't handle that job, but you want to, I think, pick and choose the spots where you use him. You want to get him on the field a lot, no question, but, you know, let Jonathan Stewart handle these short yardage and goal line situations where the pounding's going to be maybe a little bit more intense. Let Gallman handle the third down stuff. And I think if you break up the rotation that way, you'll be able to optimize the talents of each guy and also, hopefully, fingers crossed, eliminate any injuries that are going to cause anybody to miss games. So that, to me, is how I would break it down if I were the coaching staff. Now, we'll see if they agree or if they have something else in store or maybe an angle that I haven't thought of, but that, to me, makes the most sense. Ed, let's another topic I think we need to talk about. Another topic we need to think about as far as the running backs go, actually two topics. Number one, do they carry a fourth guy who would come down to Robert Martin, and I think the other guy is Jalen Simmons, and then do they carry a fullback? So let's talk about the fourth, you know, do they carry a fourth guy first, and then we'll talk about the fullback. As I mentioned, Jalen Simmons, I believe, is one guy, and Robert Martin, the rookie out of Rutgers, is another. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that it's more likely they're going to carry somebody on the practice squad as opposed to the 53-man roster, because, like I said, if they break down the distribution to where Barkley's taking the lion's share, and then you've got Stewart doing, you know, the short stuff and the change of pace stuff, and then Galvin's doing the third down back stuff, I don't know that they really have room for a fourth running back. Do you?
Well, I've been debating that, you know, back and forth, you know, for a good part of the summer, is whether they keep a fourth back or not. And part of me thinks that it's kind of risky not to, you know, simply because of injury and all of that. But then again, there's part of me that believes that when you get to Sunday, you get to game day, you get to, you know, to having seven inactive players and dressing 46, that fourth running back that you've got on your 53, I wonder if there's, you know, if there's a uniform for that guy on game day. So as much as there's part of me that would be more comfortable if they had four running backs on the roster, I can see, you know, especially with the guys that they've got in camp, Jalen Simmons, who spent last year on the practice squad in Carolina. Yes, folks, another Carolina Panther who's now in camp with the Giants. And Robert Martin, undrafted free agent out of Rutgers. With those two guys, I mean, those two guys look like practice squad candidates to me, more than 53-man roster candidates. So perhaps that is the way that they're thinking when it comes to the running back rotation.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense. I think, you know, you keep three, and it's pretty, you know, if you consider the fact that they have five running backs going into training camp, and they have a heck of a lot more tight ends than they do running backs, I think it's kind of obvious as to how they might be thinking in terms of, you know, how the final roster numbers will shake out. But I agree. I think you keep a running back on the practice squad so that if you need to bring him up, he's there. You know, you obviously you hope that nobody poaches him from your practice squad, but you keep a guy there who's kind of familiar with your system, you know, who worked with you during training camp. And this way, if you have that problem where you have a guy, God forbid, go down, you have somebody who can step in and who at least knows what you're doing. You know, maybe he's not as polished as the guy who goes down, but he at least has an idea, which is half the battle. So I agree with you there, and I would not be shocked if that's the direction the Giants go in as far as keeping three pure running backs and putting one on the practice squad. And let's talk about the fullback position, because this is one I know I debate with myself literally like every time I write about it, and that's, will the Giants keep a pure fullback on the roster? And right now they only have one pure fullback, that is Shane Smith. Even though Shane Smith is listed as a tight end, he's really not a tight end, because, you know, you don't see him really going out and lining up in line like a tight end and running pass routes from that in line spot. You know, he's more of a, you know, an H, I wouldn't even say an H back. He's more of a pure fullback, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, the question is, now, I've often argued and said that the fullback position is never going to go away, because you will always see, in some situations where they do run a fullback, you'll see somebody staffing it. But more and more teams are going towards tight ends to fill that role. And when they signed Rhett Ellison, remember, Ellison came with the slash title, tight end slash fullback. And it always baffled me why the Giants kept a pure fullback when they had Rhett Ellison, who supposedly could do that work, on the roster. I just thought that it was overlap and unnecessary. And, you know, on those days when I say, well, they're not going to keep a pure fullback, and I'm leaning more towards that, you know, train of thought there, I go back to that argument. I say, look, Rhett Ellison can do that. This is what he does best. You know, they've also added Kyle Carter, who I believe can do that type of work. So I'm just not sure they're going to keep a pure fullback like Shane Smith on the roster. I don't see how, you know, they're going to find a roster spot for him.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning in that direction as well, Patty. The reality of it is, you know, Shane Smith, I think at San Jose State in college, I think he started out as a linebacker, moved to fullback. I looked it up the other day because I was doing, you know, a Shane Smith profile as part of our 90-man roster series. And in an entire season last year, he was on the field for all of 50 offensive snaps. So even though they kept him, and obviously it's a different regime this time, they really didn't have much of a role or much of a use for him on offense. And he's a very inexperienced fullback. He really, as much as, you know, once in a while you would see him, you know, with a great, you know, with a nice block, he's not as accomplished if you're going to keep a fullback, you know, a true fullback, you know, perhaps as a guy you might want. And I look at, you and I have talked about the way they've collected tight ends all year long, you know, all throughout the offseason. But not only when you look at it, not only can Rhett Ellison, you know, handle that lead blocker role, it's not necessarily a fullback per se, you know, when you're using a tight end H-back, it's more of just a lead blocker role. Ellison can do it. I think over the last couple of years, we've seen Jarrell Adams do it a little bit. A couple of the tight ends that the Giants brought into camp, Ryan O'Malley is primarily a blocking tight end. Obviously, we really haven't seen it, but I would guess that he can do it. Scott Simonson's a guy who's been around the league a little bit, as primarily a blocking tight end. So that is also probably something that we could see him do. So I just don't know, with all of these tight ends that they're collecting, it just leads me to think that they're thinking about carrying an extra tight end and not carrying a true fullback.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, you can make the argument that, you know, a fullback can contribute on special teams, but, you know, so can other guys. You know, I'm just not so sure that Smith, you know, and again, I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He's a hard worker and, you know, gives his all, but, you know, that he went on and off the roster last year and it just, you know, given the number of snaps he got and even though, you know, you look at what Shurmur did in Minnesota, and you got to be careful when you do this. I know I do this a lot, and I got to be careful of this, you know, because it's different personnel. But there are other ways to fill the fullback role, and like we said, the tight end just gives you so much more options and guys who are established. Because the thing that jumped out at me about Smith is he didn't have a single pass target thrown his way. Now we saw him get some pass targets in the spring. You know, he ran some patterns to the flat and whatnot, but I just don't know that it's going to be enough. I think keeping him is going to be a luxury, quite honestly.
Oh, I do as well, Patty. And here's another thing to consider, which is really for me sort of, you know, the final point that I would make in looking at keeping a true fullback. Your lead running back is going to be Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley ran his entire college career without a lead blocker in front of him. He ran as a single back, so he is comfortable without that lead blocker in the backfield. Obviously, we've seen the Giants use some I formation, use some lead blocker in the spring, but he's a guy who is very much used to running without that lead blocker in front of him. And you would think that perhaps, you know, that would lead you to indicate that there would be, you know, a lessened role, you know, for that lead blocker in this offense this year.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, I think the only opportunity where you would maybe see a fullback, a pure fullback use, would be on short yardage and goal line. But even there, you can use you know, whoever loses out on the battle at center between John Jalapio and Brett Jones, he can serve as the jumbo tight end, you know. So I don't know that you necessarily need a fullback. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I right now, if you were to say, you know, what's your prediction, I don't think they keep a fullback. I'd be stunned if they keep Shane Smith. So we shall see soon enough, Ed. Anything else comes to mind on the running backs that we didn't cover?
No, only that I'm looking forward to seeing Saquon Barkley in action. It's kind of it's exciting just to look at the possibilities, and if he's the player that everybody thinks he's going to be, then that should be a very good thing for the Giants this coming season.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very excited to see how they deploy him. We got a little taste of it in the spring, and I think the running game is going to be significantly improved, and that's going to help Eli Manning so much, as we, discussed a few weeks ago when we broke down the quarterback. So, all right, on that note, Giant fans, we will call it a show. We want to thank you, as always, for listening. Stay tuned this week. We will have more position-by-position previews. Up next in our series will be the tight ends. We will talk more about the tight ends since we started to mention it today. So stay tuned, and thanks as always for listening.